Christy, you're awake.
Wearing only a long white t-shirt bearing the name and likeness of some long-dead pop star of the days before Skydark, Christy sat with her white but hard-muscled legs dangling over the side of the cot she'd been laid on. It sat in an office off the main floor of the cafeteria, which had been commandeered as a receiving ward for wounded from the battle. Her psychically sensitive red hair hung lank around her shoulders. Mildred glanced around the makeshift ward. For the moment, the situation appeared to be under control. While there were no medical doctors trained as she had been among the Scavvies, nor much of any place in the world, for that matter, there were people who had read extensively of scavenged medical literature, and some who possessed pretty comprehensive rough-and-ready knowledge. Emergency surgery wasn't really that rare in a community devoted to forging through half-destroyed and half-tumbled buildings in an incredibly active seismic zone. She had numerous assistants, including friends and family of the injured, many of whom had some idea what they were doing. It was an asset at least as valuable as the relative abundance of med supplies the settlers had scavenged. Mildred went to Christy and began inspecting her with professional dispatch.
So that Gaia-powered immune system of yours shook off the infection finally.
Not infection. Drugs. Some kind of plant poisons. Maybe several different ones blended to produce nausea, fatigue, and fever.
She tried moistening cracked lips with her tongue and asked for water. Mildred made a sipping gesture. A scabby girl of 10 or 11 named Juliana, with big, shiny black eyes and ears whose prepubescent prominence was emphasized to an almost comical degree by the painful tautness with which her long black hair was drawn back in two braids. The girl, who spoke some halting English and professed her intention of becoming a healer herself someday, was serving as gopher. She came bouncing up, carrying a plastic sippy bottle. Mildred smiled and thanked her. The girl nodded gravely. Christy drank greedily.
Thank you, Mildred. Gracias, señorita.
You recognize the agents involved?
No. The effects on my body, they didn't have the harshness of man-made or mineral poisons, I guess is the best way to put it. They lacked some kind of edge.
But not potency.
Not potency. Somebody intended to put me out for a while.
Not kill you?
No. There was something else. Maybe it didn't really mean anything.
Let me at least hear about it so I can pass judgment.
Nothing medical. At least I don't think so. Several times when I was slipping between a fitful doze and a deep sleep, it seemed to me that I saw a woman standing near me.
A woman? You mean like in your room?
No, not in the room. In the world behind the world. She looked like the pictures we saw of the Lady of the Valley.
I see.
Juliana, who had started to slope away with the now drained bottle, stopped and turned back.
You're not going all mystical on me now, are you, honey?
I think she was my own doomy power talking to me. She told me, confirmed for me, I had been dosed with an herbal poison. And she told me I would confront some great dark power and I must risk everything to save myself and those I loved. To save my soul.
La dama!
The girl rushed away to speak excitedly to the other helpers.
Probably just a dream induced by your fever. Probably doesn't mean anything.
Christy just smiled knowingly at her. The other assistants were all looking their way now. Several of them crossed themselves, a gesture Mildred hadn't seen much for, well, over a century.
Girl, this is way over my head. Well, Asberto should be about ready for me to try stitching his guts back together. I'm glad to see you've come out of it, but now you should try and rest.
Ow! Nuke shit.
Ryan suddenly realized he was alive.
For the moment, Barnabas, my friend. Here, hold still.
Ryan blinked his eye. He was having trouble focusing. It was dark all around, except for a blinding white full moon. The moon seemed to move around slightly. His vision must still be swimming from whatever happened. There was nothing wrong with his ears, though.
Doc? One and the same. Hold still, I say.
Something crossed the moon, causing it to move even more. The object glinted dull silver. Ryan realized it was some kind of multi-tool pliers. And the moon was a small, intense flashlight. He felt the pliers grasp something. Something that almost felt as if it was part of his head, but wasn't. Something embedded in his head.
What in the name of glowing nightshade? Ow! Fire blast!
Doc had pulled whatever it was out with a twist of his bony wrist, pale in the artificial light.
You bore your suffering with much more stoic silence when you were passed out, Barnabas.
Barnabas?
Why, of course. Who else?
Whatever, Doc. Look, I was out. Serious out. Does that mean I've got a bleeder in my skull that's going to implode my brain?
I believe you lost consciousness due to wound shock. You had one of those barbaric obsidian-edged clubs buried in your cranium. Some of the stone shards are still stuck in there.
Back into the light swam the pliers. This time they held a wafer of black glass. It had dark, clotted stuff stuck to it, and a few curly dark hairs.
Fire blast!
Doc was tossing the fragments of volcanic glass from the broken Machawetel into a coffee can.
A painful wound, and a shockingly bloody one, but superficial for all that. Still, you can be grateful for it.
Why the hell is that?
Because you are still alive because of it. Or at least free. Your would-be captors thought they had killed you. As they did for our noble friend, Fivax, there.
He twitched the flashlight. Fivax lay sprawled by the fire. His own Machawetel, busted off near the hilt, lay near his hand. His body had been gashed and gored horribly. At least three other bodies lay near him. Small, dark, almost naked. Chichimex.
I saw him got his throat cut. Or did I imagine that?
No. Though his wound was mortal, he fought fiercely. And slew his foes until he bled out and fell. An epic scene, I should imagine.
What about JB and Jack?
They are gone. Marched into captivity. One does not like to think of their fate.
We'll get them back. Is there any more of that crap stuck in my head?
One more piece, which I will attend to once you cease fidgeting.
Ryan held himself stock still.
Very well.
Doc plucked the last fragment from Ryan's head and dropped it meticulously in the can. Then he tore open a scavenged packet, poured antibiotic powder into the wound, and bandaged it with more supplies from the medical kit the scabbies had provided them for the fight, taking great twists of tape around Ryan's head.
That is the best I can do for now. It will pull your hair most cruelly when the tape is removed.
Fine. How about the wag?
What do you think it is you are leaning against?
Oh.
With Doc's help, Ryan got to his feet. He examined the wag quickly by the shine of the small flash. The machine gun was gone, and the tires were slashed. The microphone for the radio had been ripped away. The cord dangled out the open door like a curiously coiled umbilicus.
Wonder why they didn't burn it.
Well, that would ill have accorded with the stealth that was needful to commit murder and kidnap under the noses of a sleeping army.
A sleeping, dead, exhausted, largely drunk army. But, yeah, a blazing wag would have been a little conspicuous.
He half turned and fell into the driver's seat. Reaching down, he found by feel and pulled a lever. The Hummer slowly began to rise from the ground.
Our friends did their savage best to incapacitate our vehicle quickly and quietly. Sadly for them, they failed to reckon with that apex of technology that was attained in the late 20th century, shortly before everything blew up, of course.
The Hummer's tires, which were run flats to begin with, were resealing themselves with a quick hardening compound and reinflating automatically by means of a compressor powered by the nuke battery that ran the wag itself.
So, Doc, how did you come to be wandering around out here to stumble across me, instead of being back safe and sound in the city with Tenorio and the rest?
As we made preparation to pull out, I decided my place was with my comrades, after all. I suppose that I felt guilty for not having shared your danger. So I begged leave of Don Tenorio to remain behind, which he graciously extended. Then I found myself walking in the moonlight, regarding the battlefield and regarding the fugacity of life, rather than proceeding here straight away, with the result that I did not arrive until shortly after the villains decamped with our comrades. at which point I knelt to examine what I sorrowfully took to be your corpse, and the rest, as they say, is history.
I'm glad I'm not. Well, hey, they left me my Sig Sauer and my Panga.
They got the other weapons, including the BAR that our hosts lent to John Barrymore. I believe your splendid rifle as well.
Oh, well. You still got your sword stick and that giant old horse pistol, don't you?
Most assuredly.
We got all we need and maybe a hair more. Let's go.
To the rescue of our compatriots?
Ryan had drawn his hand blaster, pinched back the slide to check for a chambered cartridge. Brass gleamed yellow in the moonlight.
Damn straight.